It's time for Operation Freedom with your host, Dr. Dave Janda, on Southeast Michigan's conservative powerhouse, Wham Talk 1600.
Welcome back to Operation Freedom, folks. I'm Dr. Dave Janda, broadcasting from our Freedom Bunker here at Wham Talk 1600. We're here every Sunday for you from 2 to 5 Eastern. Our podcasts are available for our subscription platform subscribers. Usually Derek, my phenomenal wingman here, gets those up no later than 8 p.m. on Sunday evening. That way you can download them and network them to anyone and everyone you know. That's just part of our subscription content. We're also available on Operation Freedom on our YouTube channel and, of course, available at DaveJanda.com, both the free, the public side, as well as the subscription side, where we upload extra shows, including our WTF show every Wednesday, our Insider Inside show every Thursday. We have our Department of Advanced Research show with Nick Ruiz, and we also have our healthcare series all available for our subscribers, in addition to the archives of all of our shows, including this show all the way back to its inception of October in 2010. Tremendous amount going on around the world, and one of the best analysts, if you will, of what's happening around the world on a geopolitical front, the financial front, the deep state front, is a very dear good friend of mine by the name of Sarah Westall. She's an incredibly accomplished individual who has great contacts and also has great insight. Little background on those of you not familiar with Sarah. She is a successful entrepreneur and business executive. Over the past 25 years, she has created and developed multiple companies, including a successful management and consulting firm and a multi-million dollar international import and manufacturing company. Sarah has a dynamic leadership career spent building high-performance teams in highly competitive industries. She has an entrepreneurial attitude, energy, and style unlike anyone I know. She has a proven ability to define company positioning by driving the development and execution of innovation, market entry plays, long-term growth strategy, business development, and strategic initiatives. Sarah has a computer science and business management systems degree from the College of Science and Engineering at the University of Minnesota, with an emphasis in management information systems from the Carlson Business School, also present at the University of Minnesota. Sarah started her career at the center of the Internet revolution at US West Communications, where she was promoted multiple times to eventually become director of the Advanced Networking Group responsible for all of the system design and development for Enterprise, the Internet and networking arm of US West. Currently, Sarah is a partner at Galax Consulting, as she has recently taught at the University of Minnesota's top-rated Carlson Business School. She is a national radio show. She hosts that, of which I've been very proud to be a guest on her platform. She features leaders in business, government, society, and science. Her significant experience and knowledge in technology systems, engineering, business, and entrepreneurship really provides her with insight and depth unparalleled in the media. I encourage you to go to her website, Sarah Westall, W-E-S-T-A-L-L, SarahWestall.com. Also, go to her YouTube channel, Sarah Westall. Sarah, it's an honor to have you back on Operation Freedom.
Thank you so much, Dave. I love hearing my my intros.
Well,
talking about?
Well, no, you should be very proud of it, Sarah. The only thing, 25 years, I mean, Sarah, you've been doing this 25 years. That means you started when you were 5 years old. Because you're only...
Well, yeah.
Yeah, because you're only 30.
Well, of course, I'm just a genius. I don't age.
Sarah, I want to talk...
They always say that you're 29 for 40 years.
So, yeah, I know. I've been there for like 30 of those, yeah. So, hey, here's the deal, Sarah. You just posted an interview with a good friend of ours, Harley Schlanger, and it's about what's happening... Yeah. Financially, because if you listen to CNBC and Fox Business News and Reuters and Bloomberg, it's all rainbows and lollipops, and everybody should be buying Netflix stock and Facebook stock and Apple stock and Google stock and everything's perfect. Take us through what you discuss with Harley, because it's and your insight. I mean, you have this great business background in addition to this tech background. Take us where you think we are on the financial front, globally, and then specifically here in the United States, and the concerns that you have that Harley helped raise?
Well, it's just incredible. I mean, this is probably the biggest news out there right now. That and the blackmail that I think is the number one issue in the world, to, you know, stumbling block for getting any good things happening. But this is the number one issue as far as how it's going to change the world. And there's, at the same time the G7 meeting was going on in France, there was the annual central bank meeting going on in Jackson Hole, Wyoming. That was August 22nd through the 24th. I did the same thing you did. I tried to find good information on what came out of this meeting, and you just can't find it. And what you can do is you can go and look at the actual speeches that these people gave. And the only way you're going to get to the actual proposals and the meat of what happened at this meeting is to look at the actual speeches, because the news media is pretty much doing a blackout on this, as far as, like you were saying, it's all lollipop and rainbows, but it's really not. I mean, and you can look at, you know, people have been talking about the dollar collapse or the dollar reset for a long time. In fact, MIT says that it's just, there's going to be a point probably in the year 2032, somewhere around there, where it, depending on how much they actually release of new dollars, where it goes to such a high infinity where the value is zero. You know, I mean, the dollar value, it just is what it is. It's a mathematical certainty. And so the question is, are they going to let it fail and collapse on its own, or are they going to do a planned reset? And it looks more and more like they're really working towards a planned reset, which in that way, that is good news, I think. I don't really like the idea of going to a completely collapse, because that will be, as much as maybe the outcome afterwards could be better for society, I just don't know if the hardships in the middle of that is worth it. But what they're proposing is very scary, and it really should be, you know, you listen to historians and they say at one point in our history, people were very educated about banking matters. You know, turn of the century, they're much more educated on what it means to print your own money, what these central banks actually do. But since the Federal Reserve was created and after, they've really dumbed down the local, the average citizen on banking policy. It's the average person is really clueless on how things work. And, you know, and it goes to that when you look in the media and nobody's covering these things in any kind of meaningful way. But we talked about it on our show with Harley Schlinger, which I just love. I thought it was such a great interview.
It
if
was.
People have a chance to listen to it, they really need to.
It's fantastic, Sarah. And I encourage folks can go to YouTube, Sarah Westall. It's right there. First thing on her homepage. Outstanding. Go into what you and Harley discuss and the concerns.
Yeah, well, there's three proposals that came out of that meeting that was absolutely incredible, that, you know, jaws should be dropped over this to even learn about. The Bank of England Governor Mark Carney proposed that a synthetic digital currency should be created, a virtual currency, to replace the dollar with no constraints by central bankers, meaning that it would allow them to go far beyond quantitative easing, zero interest rates, and negative rates to provide unlimited liquidity to bail out worthless derivative and other speculative instruments held on the books by the largest banks and financial institutions, as well as the central banks. So basically what that means is that it's a proposal to allow them to do whatever it takes to get them out of their weak positions. You know, yeah. It's crazy. They won't, because they did all these speculative bets, these derivative things, they want to protect their own, you know, situation.
Well,
this isn't
is
for the
exactly,
benefit of the world,
well,
it's for them.
Well, which is exactly what they did in 2007 and 2008.
Exactly. So this is a proposal to do that with the digital currency. Now, is that cryptocurrency? You know, we do know that they're planning on going, having the whole world, or they're trying to get the whole world to go to a global cryptocurrency that's managed on a blockchain. I mean, there's so much evidence to that. I think this might be a precursor to that versus going straight to that. But it could be straight to that, because they didn't go into what the details of what this digital currency is. So, but people need to know that this is what they're talking about, because I don't think people would agree to this. The second one was even worse, and this was by a proposal by four economists from central banks, and it was issued by BlackRock. which is the big investment house. And they called it unconventional monetary policy to unprecedented policy coordination by central banks. And they basically are looking for merging monetary policy with fiscal policy. So what they want to do is be able to not only say, you know, not only be able to create the money, they also want to say where it should go. Mm-hmm. And they're talking about helicopter money to be able to print as much as they want. And, you know, and there were some questions, you know, by people who were saying, hey, I don't know if I like this. And they're, you know, how do you make sure that this doesn't come into a hyperinflationary state, or you're not doing things for the best of the society and all these things? How do we know when we should put on the brakes? And their response was, we'll have a group of experts that will, you know, watch this.
Yeah, what could go
you know as
right.
well as I
oh,
do.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
what could go wrong with that?
Well, there's so many problems in what, I mean, like, you unpack what I just said. Okay, first of all, you have these experts. Who the heck, are they, you know, like Harley said, are those the same experts that managed 2008?
Right.
And are those the same experts that got us into the debt problem we're in right now?
I'm sure they are.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, okay, who are these? It's a joke who these experts are. But I don't know if it's more serious or just as serious, but they will be bypassing Congress and making decisions on not only what money and how much money should be created, but where it should be spent.
Right.
What industries it should be spent on. That's very serious. That's essentially saying that governments are not useful. I mean, they will just be an arm of these central bankers. And we kind of are moving in that direction anyways. Maybe this is just making it a little more formal. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Because they've really purchased our Congress. They've really done a good job of getting to this point. And now they're just making it more formal. I don't know. It's really scary. And if anybody questions, you know, these conspiracy theorists on whether we're going that way, well, when you start seeing that they actually are seriously having economists and central bankers talking about doing this for real in public forums, well, you know, you can't say it's conspiracy theory anymore.
You can't.
Okay.
It's conspiracy reality.
And that's why people need to go and actually read these speeches so you can see that these were actually in there. Okay, and then the third initiative, which is just, it's incredible. This one's the Global Green Financial Initiative, which would channel all credit to so-called green technologies. They would have decarbonized the global economy is what they claim. That's the wordings they used. And, you know, it's central to kind of how they're doing all these scams. And it would be, you know, the City of London, who are really the ones that lead everything, and the Wall Street bankers would decide where they would be spending money. You know, it's the fraudulent science behind all that man-made climate change, right? I mean, we know that there's issues with pollution. We know we have issues with this stuff, but we also know any scientist worth their beans knows that their science behind all this man-made climate change is BS.
Mm-hmm.
And so now they're using this as a means for their global green initiative. And what they're going to do is they're just going to further move manufacturing out of our countries, you know, out of the Western countries, which we're already seeing a huge movement of manufacturing. That's what should scare people. They're using this initiative to keep reducing manufacturing and to shift it in the directions that they want. But the problem is they're using a false science and lies. But this is a big deal because they're trying to make it part of the whole policy. So that's the bulk of what came out of those meetings, and the gist of it. You won't find this anywhere in mainstream media. You'll only find it by reading those speeches, and this is real, and it's scary.
It's incredibly scary.
I mean, this is. Go ahead.
No, folks, we're speaking with Sarah Westall. Sarah Westall, westall.com. And then, Sarah, right after the meeting concluded at Jackson Hole with all these central bankers, Bill Dudley, the ex-New York Fed president, urged Powell to prevent Trump's reelection. Quote, There's even an argument that the election itself falls within the Fed's purview, end quote. Now, he's tried to walk that back a little bit, but I'm sorry, damage done.
Well, he's saying that the Fed needs to work together to make sure that Trump's not elected because Trump is bad for the economy, i.e., he's in the way of our proposals. And they claim that the Fed exists purely because they need to be separate from political policy. Yet, if this isn't extreme political policy, I don't know what is. It's incredible for them to come out and say that they're against the president and that they should actively make sure he's not elected. And it's because they want to implement these policies that we're talking about.
And as you have pointed out.
And so you got to look at it. Well,
And as you have pointed out, Sarah, and I've pointed out here, and this bears repeating, because 99% of the American population still does not recognize this fact. The Fed is not part of the legislative, judicial, right? Legislative, judicial, or executive branches of our government. They're a group of independent bankers that were awarded the creation of the money supply under the direction of Woodrow Wilson and Congress in 1913. It was essentially a takeover of our monetary system. And they are there not for the interests of America or Americans, but of the private banks that they're all the members of. It's a cartel.
And the scary thing is, okay, you can't, you know, most of this is out of the city of London, which is its separate country, right, inside of England, that is controlled by their own bankers. It's incredible. And you don't know who these owners really are because it's all hidden through private companies. In a public company, because, you know, I've had people on to talk about who really is behind all this wealth. And there's only a small group of like 300 people that sit on these boards and manage the majority of the wealth in the country. But the problem is, well, who's behind them? You can't get to those figures because if somebody owns a public company, then that's public and you know who's on their boards and stuff. But, you know, if they own shares, you know who it is. But if it's a private company, you don't get to know who, you know, if a private company owns those shares, all you know is that this private company, who you have no idea who owns it, owns a bunch of shares in this public company. So all of them are hidden behind these private shares that they own, or these public shares that they own in a private company. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And here, well, right. Well, so here's the thing, Sarah. As I mentioned in your introduction, you have a business background. You went to business school. It was it's one of your specialties. You taught at a business school. Is there anyone at the business school, at a very prestigious institution that you were associated with, that ever speaks about what the Federal Reserve is really about and what the banking cartel has done over the past 106 years?
No, and that's what's so sad. And see, at the turn of the century, everybody would talk about it. Yeah. It was common knowledge what was going on in the banking world. Now we're all ignorant to it.
Well, and
if, say all of us.
But earlier in the show, I had Trader Stefan, who worked in the banking syndicate, and that she goes by a name de plume, but she wrote an article, and it was based on The Wizard of Oz. The Wizard of Oz is really based on gold and silver and monetary policy, and that was written in 1900. And the movie mm-hmm. was then done in 1939. Now they switched it around. Silver slippers become ruby slippers, and the yellow brick road is the yellow brick road rather than the gold and silver road. But the person behind the curtain is the central banker. People yep. were more educated and in tune with what the banking syndicate was doing in 1900 than they are today.
Significantly more. And that's what's scary. I mean, back even just 10 years ago, when I was starting to read all this stuff, you know, the Jekyll Island book and the Web of Debt by Ellen Brown and all these things, I started learning about all this stuff. I'd ask people who were big in financial companies, have you heard of what's going, you know, the Federal Reserve? They didn't even know. And these were executives in some of the largest investment companies around. They didn't understand the whole point of Federal Reserve. That's how ignorant. Now, it's a little different today, but we still have a long way to go before we're anywhere near what we used to be and where we need to be. Sarah, where we need to be is the most important, and that is much more educated.
Sarah, based on your business acumen and your business education, where do you see things going financially in our country and the world over the next year or two?
Well, you know, all these people that say that cryptocurrency is a way to freedom and stuff, I just, it's kind of sad because they were duped, I think. You know, there's so much evidence to show that the major banks have taken over the Bitcoin development and all the blockchain, and we're going to go to a cryptocurrency that is managed by, you know, the United States central banks. They're trying to have it be a global cryptocurrency. China is pushing back, and so is Russia. We'll see where that really goes. That would ultimately be a control mechanism by a few people. It would be a digitally controlled mechanism. And, you know, this whole initiative, this proposal that I saw, you know, coming out of the central bank this year about having a digital currency, to me, seems like they're starting to talk that language. That's where I think it's going to go. If they don't get that in place, then we're going to have an unorganized collapse. And I don't know what's better. You know, I mean, we'd all have to talk about it. But the thing is no one's talking about it. Mm-hmm. And so you need intelligent people who know what they're doing to start talking about it openly with others, so that we have intellectuals and people. It doesn't matter how much you're educated formally, but if people who are smart, who can think about these things, to actually debate and talk about it so that we can come up with solutions that's better for our country and the world. But at this point, it's all happening behind the scenes by bankers, and it's all private and national security and BS. We all know what the national security BS is all about. And so people are going to be blindsided on things. You know, we talked about JP Morgan cornering the silver market before in a recent, you know, about 6 months ago. They're buying up gold and silver left and right. So I don't know what's going on with that. There's still a lot of questions because it's all secret. So there's going to be a major change, and people are going to be blindsided by this. You know, they're going to be fundamentally blindsided. The people who are supporting these cryptocurrencies and thinking it's going to be a way to freedom are going to be blindsided. People who think that there's going to be this whole dollar collapse and, you know, they're going to be blindsided when this digital global cryptocurrency comes out and they're not ready for it. That's why this stuff needs to be talked about openly.
Sarah,
of being national security.
And how can folks follow you? Because they need to follow you on a daily basis.
Well, sarahwestall.com is a great place to go to find me. Sign up for my Patreon because I get a lot of research articles and a lot of special stuff. You're on there, you know, different people, exclusive interviews. And then, of course, my YouTube and my BitChute and different. I'm all over the place on podcasts as well.
But Sarah Westall, Westall, sarahwestall.com. Sarah, I'd like to thank you for everything you have done, are doing, and will do. You're an incredible, incredible fighter for every American's freedom and liberty, and you're doing it on a daily basis, 24/7, and I thank you. Folks, you're listening to Operation Freedom. Dr. Dave
Janda,
broadcasting from our Freedom Bunker here at WHAM Talk 1600.